If you will, take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews, the second chapter. Hebrews chapter 2, and our text will be found in verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. And the Scripture says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." The title of my message tonight comes from our text, "But we see Jesus." But we see Jesus. Now, before this verse in verse 9, Paul goes on here in the previous verses and he tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is now reigning in heaven. That He is now ruling upon the throne of heaven, and all things have been subject under Him, have been made subject under His feet. We read that Paul says that in verse 8, it says, "Thou hast put all things in subjection under His feet, for in that He put all things in subjection under Him, He left nothing, nothing that is not put under Him." Is that clear? That's clear as He can make it. Everything is put under the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul goes on to say, or the writer goes on to say here in verse 8, But now, we see not yet all things under Him. You see, the Lord God of heaven has put all things under Christ. He is ruling and reigning right now on the throne. Yet, with these physical eyes, we have a problem. We can't fully see all things are put under Him. We look at the condition of this world every day. Every day you cannot turn on the news, you cannot pick up a newspaper, and you cannot read anything in this world without seeing the condition of this world. The condition of this world is pretty bad, isn't it? It's pretty messed up. The condition of this world is a mess. It's all confusion and disarray. We see war. We see death. We see injustice. And men are getting worse. They aren't getting better. The things of Christ and the gospel that once were uplifted in this country are now despised in its very churches. The sovereign grace of God in this nation, at one time God had let the gospel loose in this nation and set men's heart on fire for the gospel of Christ. And now it is but a pile of ashes barely burning in this nation. If you listen to the talking heads on television, they're telling us to fear, aren't they? They're trying to get us to fear. The ozone layer's depleting. The ice caps are melting. We're all fixing to drown. They're fixing to overflow us with water, and meteors are going to come and destroy this earth and throw it out of its orbit, and we're going to be spinning off into space. If you listen to them, it's all in confusion, isn't it? Disarray. Chaos. Everything runs by chance, according to this world, doesn't it? Oh, what happened? Why did you get this? Well, I was just lucky. It just by chance I got that. You see, they don't see anything in control. They see everything out of control. And if we look with our physical eyes, that's what we see. If we look by our human nature, that's what we see. It's all out of control. Famine, storms, floods, it's great disasters. We see violent and wicked men ruling kingdoms. Radical rebel men gaining possessions of nuclear weapons. If this world is so out of control, if this world is so in chaos, how then is it possible that we say Jesus Christ is reigning? Someone comes to you and shows you all of these things. They show you the wars, and they show you the death, and they show you the decay, the famine, and the wickedness of men. And then you say, "Jesus Christ reigns." What is your answer? How do you answer such a thing? How can we answer such a thing unless we say, "Thus saith the Lord"? How can we answer anything without Scripture? We must go to the Word of God to see what is really happening. Because our eyes deceive us. Our eyes are very deceptive. We must go to the Scriptures. The Scriptures declare this. In verse 8, as we read, "Thou hast put all things under His feet, in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left" how much? How much did He leave not in subjection to Christ? Is there anything He left? Was there one thing that is out of His control? No, He left nothing out of His control. All things are subject to Christ. So believers in Jesus Christ, you that believe Christ, listen, take comfort of the Scriptures. Don't trust your eyes and your ears. You trust the Word of God. All things are under His control. Everything. Everything is under His direct authority and control. But as verse 8 says, "But now we see." We see. "Not yet all things put under Him." This physical eye, we see many things under Him. And some people can agree. The sun and moon. You see that? Goes up, goes down. Goes up, goes down. Faithful, isn't it? We could say, well, that's under His control. But when we see things happen in our life, when our own flesh is tormented, when our own body aches, when our own family dies, then comes the test of what we truly believe. Do we believe what we see? Do we count evil what God has purposed to do? He has reign over all flesh. All flesh, all the universe. If there is famine, make no mistake, the Lord Jesus is the root cause. He is the principal cause of it. If there is pain in our lives, Jesus Christ has ordained these things. Why is it that the gospel is rejected in mass, the masses today? Had not Christ ordained it so? Remember Sunday when we were talking about Zacchaeus? In Zacchaeus, Jesus Christ, when He began at Jericho, what did He do to all those people in Jericho? He passed by them all to come to the place where Zacchaeus was. You see, Jesus Christ is saving exactly whom He will. The gospel is being rejected because Christ is passing by the masses. And He's coming to His lost sheep. You see, these people are the 99 which need no repentance. He passes by them, goes right to the person that is lost, His sheep. Because He is in charge of all things. Believer in Christ, this is the sight with the not trust the physical sight of our eyes. But we are to believe the Word of God and not base our judgment on what we see. Why is that? Because, believer, you are to walk by faith. You see, the Scriptures are clear. The just shall live how? How shall you live in this life? By faith you shall live in this life. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We're not to judge the actions of Christ based on what we physically see. If we were to do that, we would be like everybody else. Everything's in chaos. Nothing's in order. Oh, but my friends, we walk by not by sight, but by faith. We believe Christ. We believe God's Word. This world sees chaos, confusion, and decay. But you know what we see? Verse 9, "But we see Jesus." We see Jesus. And how do we see Jesus? How is it that we see Jesus? We see Jesus by faith. We believe Him. We trust Him. And how is it that we trust Him to be ruler over all things? How is it that we are not to trust our eyes and we are to trust this man Jesus? Why is it that we do that? Well, the first thing I have is that we see Jesus as the God-man mediator. We see Jesus as the God-man mediator. First, we see Him as God. You see, I'm not going to trust my physical eyes because I see Jesus as God. Now, Scriptures are very clear that He was God from all eternity. From all eternity, He was God. Jesus, according to John, says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." He is God of very God. He is God, and He rules over all things. He is God from all eternity, and He by divine right has the power over all flesh. Is that not right? If He is creator of all things, then He has by divine right power over all His creation. This world was created by Jesus Christ, and it continues to spin according to His will. The only reason this planet, the ozone doesn't melt away, and the ice caps don't melt, and we don't drown, and meteors don't hit this earth, and the reason this earth doesn't spin off into space is because Jesus Christ is causing this world to spin on its axis. He started it spinning, and He'll keep it spinning as long as He wills. You see, I see Jesus as God, and from the beginning He was God. Is this not His own words? Did He not tell the Pharisees, "Before Abraham was, I am"? I am. The Jews picked up stones to kill Him. Why? Because He said, "Thou makest thyself equal with God." You make yourself God. No, He didn't. He was God. He was God. "Before Abraham was, I am." He said, "I and my Father are one." He is God. When I see Jesus, you know what I see? I see God. I see God. He who is the eternal Son of God, who created all things and by divine right has the power over all things, He also purposed to become a man. He became a man. That's what I see next. We see Jesus as the God-man. The God-man. Verse 9, read our text. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Now, I'll tell you what, and this is no surprise to anyone here, we all are born lower than the angels. Isn't that obvious? I mean, that's just simple. A child can understand an angel has more power and more glory than we have when we're born into this world. We are born lower than the angels. Why? Well, at one time, your father and my father, we in Him were the crowning jewel of God's creation. When God made man, He made everything else, God said it was good. But when He made man, He said, "Behold, it is very good." Very good. You see, God created man in His image, in His likeness. He was the crowning jewel of His creation. Even above angels, He was His crowning jewel. And man had full access to God at that time. He was created righteous, innocent, holy, and he communed with God face to face. I know that's something that we long to do. We long for that day when our faith will be washed away in sight. Right now, we have to live by faith. We must live by faith. We call to God and we speak to God and we speak to Him by faith. But Adam didn't speak to God by faith. He spoke to God by sight. He actually spoke to God. But you see, our Father who was created so very high, when He fell so very low. He who was above the angels at that time now was cast down lower than they. And we, through our Father, through His evil heart of rebellion, we all lost our first estate and were born lower than the angels. But this man, Jesus Christ, He was not born lower. He was made lower than the angels. What does that mean? He made Himself lower than the angels. He subjected Himself and became a man. A man. Believer, let us see this tonight, that Jesus, let us see Jesus by faith, who is God, blessed forever, and came down and united Himself with humanity. He took upon Himself human flesh and bone and blood. Verse 14 of chapter 2 says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also took part of the same." Just as much as you are human, just as much as you feel pain and hurt, so did He. Just as much as we are weary and tired and hurt, so was He. There is nothing that you have ever felt that He has not felt 100 times over. He alone could feel the magnitude of sin. Why? Because He had none. Have you ever been accused of something that you didn't do and punished for it? How bad does that make you feel? That's one thing if you do something and you get punished. Yeah, you're kind of mad on the surface. But when you don't do something and you're punished, how enraged do you feel? You feel like it's injustice. Woe, the injustice. Woe is me. I have been accused of something that I didn't do. That's everything He did. He felt that way. But you see, He never made Himself of any reputation. He never murmured under the weight of being a man. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6 and 7, "Who being the form of God," Scripture says. Now that word "form" means nature. He being the express image of the Father, He being of the nature of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was not robbing God of His glory, was He? No, He's not robbing God, because He was God. But He made of Himself, He subjected Himself, He humbled Himself, and made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form. That's the same word as the form of God. He took upon Him the nature of God and the form of a servant, the nature of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Why? When you look at Jesus and you see the God-man, you see God, and you see how He came down so low that He would make Himself of no reputation and take upon Him the pains of human flesh and the hurt and the weariness that we feel. All that weariness and pain that you want to get rid of, He took on Himself. He subjected Himself. Why? Why did Jesus do this? Why did God, who is sovereign over all, subject Himself to such great pains? Look at that in verse 9. For the suffering of death. This is the reason Jesus became a man. So when we see Jesus, we see Him as God, we see Him as man, and we see that He became a man so that He might suffer and die. Believer, I know that these things are not new to you. But these things that I'm expressing to you tonight are safe for you. Why are they safe? Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. The writer says, therefore we are to give the more earnest heed, earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. How fast does the gospel go out of our minds? How fast does this word go in our ears, through our minds, and how much of it actually gets to our heart and stays? Our minds are leaky vessels at best. They're at best leaky vessels. I was talking to Joanne. I told her I was going to use this. I was talking to her yesterday, and she said she listened to a message that I was preaching. And she was rejoicing in the message because she knew what was next. She could remember what was next. And then when she got done with the whole message, she forgot what it was about. She forgot what it was about. That's how fast we let these things slip. This is nothing new, but this is safe. This is good. That we see Jesus. That He is constantly put before our eyes so that we see His person. We remember His person. And we remember His suffering. It's vitally important we remember His suffering and His death. This is the great salvation that we are not to neglect. That He who was God became man for suffering of death. We, because of our sin, were subject to bondage. Look at that in verse 15. It says, and to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. You see, we all by nature were under the condemnation of God, weren't we? We were under the condemnation of God. The Scripture says in John 3:36, He that believeth on the Son hath the everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abides on him. All that do not believe Christ have the wrath of God hovering over their heads, waiting for their last breath. All who do not believe Christ are condemned, and the world is their cell. The universe is their prison and their holding cell, waiting for the sentence to be executed. Go where you will if you are lost and do not believe in Christ. You can hide in a castle or in a cave. You can hide in palaces or huts. You can go to the deepest part of the ocean or the vastness of space, and yet you are still under the condemnation of God. How shall we escape, Paul says. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Is there any escape? Is there any escape for those that are lost? No. And my friends, those that profess faith in Christ and go away, is there any escape for them? No. No. You cannot escape God's sentence of death. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. The wages of sin is death. This is the sentence of men born of Adam. But God, who is rich in mercy, God, who is rich in mercy, where do we see that mercy? In Jesus Christ. We see Jesus. We who were dead and are now alive, we see Jesus. We see Jesus. We see Him as the mercy of God. And He has determined to show mercy on some. How is He determined to do that? He purposed His Son to take on the seed of Abraham so that He might, through death, conquer death for all that believe. You see, we were subject to death. And Jesus Christ subjected Himself to death so that He, through death, might conquer death for every man that believes. For everyone that believes. See, Jesus, in His great sovereign mercy, that He did not only become a man, but He became a servant of God. So that through His servanthood, He might obtain the righteousness we need. The righteousness of God. And by His death, He obtained redemption and bought us out of death. This world that was our prison cell and sin that was our chains have now been loosed, and the world is not our prison, but it is our inheritance. It is our inheritance. The world that held us in captivity so long is now no longer our cell, but part of our inheritance that we will inherit because He subjected Himself through death. It was by His blood He obtained redemption. Hebrews 9:12, neither by the blood of bulls or calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. You see, Christ, when He entered into death, He didn't just die hoping somebody would be saved. Did He? He didn't die just hoping Fred would be saved. Oh, I just hope that he'll be saved. No, He obtained my redemption. And He obtained your redemption. He bought it with His own blood. It's secure. And my friend, because of His death, I do not see my hope in this world. I do not trust my eyes, for they are deceptive. I do not see everything that God's doing. Do you? Do you see everything God's doing? I have no clue what He's doing sometimes. I have no idea. And just when I think I do, He turns and He does something different. I don't know what He's doing. I know what He's going to do next. But I do know this. I see Jesus. I see Jesus. Who subjected Himself to death so that through death I might be delivered from such a bondage and such a fear. He suffered the shameful cross and carried all my grief. He bore my sins, my nature, my person in His own body on the tree. My sin in the mystical transaction of God. It became His own. And God poured out His wrath on Christ. He poured out that wrath that was due me. Why? 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He, God, hath made Him, Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin. If there is one thing I've studied ever since the Lord called me to the pastorate, it has been this text. And the more I study it, the less I understand it. God became a man and bore in His body my sin. Yet He still knew no sin. I cannot fully explain the mystical transaction between God and His Son. And I say, if any man says they can, I don't think they've studied it enough. God took our sins and imputed them to Christ, so much so that He was made sin for us. Yet He remained the impeccable Christ. My friends, can we not see how great this salvation is? Can you not see how much it cost? When Jesus Christ paid the price, it was a great price. It was a great price. It was the price of His own blood. And by that blood, He has set us free from Satan, sin, the world, and guilt. I am free in Christ. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. That's what He says. And my friends, Jesus Christ, through His death, now is ruler over all flesh. And I see Jesus, who was made flesh, made sin for us, and by His death delivered us out of our bondage, who was subject to sin and death. But now, by the grace of God, through faith in Christ, I see my Lord, my Savior, my Lord, God and man, my Savior through His blood and suffering on the cross. And lastly, I see Jesus as my brother. How can you say such a thing? Jesus is your brother? Absolutely. How do I know? Because He calls me His brother. He calls me His brother. I see Jesus, my brother. Look at verse 11. It says, "For both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren." Brethren. See, believer, we have been set apart. The word sanctified, set apart, is the easiest way to understand it. You have been set apart in Christ. You are the sanctified. Who is He that sanctifieth? Christ. We're sanctified in Christ. We don't sanctify ourselves. Don't believe that for a minute. God sanctifies. And we are sanctified and we are set apart for the worship and the service of Christ, in Christ. And we are set apart, and the Scripture says, are all of one God. You see, Christ God is my God. Christ Father is my Father. And He's your Father. And He's your God. And therefore, because He took upon Him human flesh, He became our brother, our federal head and representative. And my friends, in this idea of sanctification, we give ourselves no credit. I give myself no credit in this. Scripture says, "Who maketh thee to differ from another?" Why are you sanctified and not somebody else? "Who maketh thee to differ from another? Or what hast thou hast not received?" God separated us. God separated us. He separated us in Christ. And because He has separated us and took on our nature, we are now one with Him. In John 17:23, He says, I in them, and Thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, even Himself. See, my dear friend, look to Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our profession. Look at Him and see that He is not ashamed to call you His brother or sister. He's not ashamed of you. He's not ashamed of you. He receives you to Himself as His brother. Now, I know many times I feel ashamed. I know many times we feel ashamed because of our sin. I know many times we feel our unworthiness, our unfaithfulness. And we say within ourselves, how is it that He can still love me? How is it possible that He can still even know my name, much less receive me as His brother? I cry many times within myself, oh wretched man that I am. Evils come upon me and my soul begins to doubt and fear. Trouble, pain, hurt cause me to not believe in my Lord. Sometimes I wonder if God is still in control. And yet, even in my unfaithfulness, He still is not ashamed to call me His brother. He's not ashamed to call me His brother. When you feel such a thing, when you see the world in chaos and you see your life in disarray, and you see your pains and hurts as though they have no rhyme or reason, take your eyes off of them and see Jesus. See Jesus. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. And when I am afraid, oh, and when I am afraid, give me Jesus. And when I come to die, oh, and when I come to die, give me Jesus. My friends, we are not to walk by sight in this world, but let us ever look to our blessed Savior who took upon Himself our bone, our flesh, and our blood, so that He, through death, might deliver us unto glory. For that's what He says in verse 10, for it became Him who for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. That was His purpose. That was His reason. And my friends, we do not worship a Christ who is a failure. This world sees Him as a failure. They see Him as a weak, effeminate Savior who cannot save anyone. But I see Jesus, who is a victorious Savior, who has accomplished salvation so that He might bring many sons to glory. So that He might bring you to glory. My friend, let us hold this fast for our comfort, for our joy, and no matter what our eyes see, Let us look by faith and see Jesus. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer.